From Entrepreneur Media, this is Problem Solvers, a show in which entrepreneurs do what entrepreneurs do best, solve unexpected problems in their business.
We were completely wrong.
And I'm just like, it's not selling.
It was like, we have to start from scratch.
I'm Jason Pfeiffer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine.
Do you want to hear something that is mind-blowing? Or at least that was mind-blowing? Absolutely, insanely, completely mind-blowing? All right, here it is with mind-blowing voice.
When heating is done all electrically, and I want 70 degrees in my home, I shall set the thermostat at 70, and the temperature will not rise above that point. This temperature will be maintained uniformly, regardless of the weather outside.
And maybe you're thinking to yourself, I mean, there's nothing special about that. That's how heating and air conditioning work. Have you never heard of that? Well, here's the thing. The reason that's mind-blowing is because that was written in 1921 in an article that was predicting what life would be like in 2021, which is to say that 100 years ago, somebody wrote, and not just somebody, but a guy that was called the Wizard of Schenectady, wrote that, along with many other predictions, and was spot on. The thing that that guy was envisioning, a crazy, crazy situation where you could control the temperature in your home and it would stay that temperature regardless of what was happening outside. That was such an unbelievable, crazy dream for them. And it's, you know, just every day for us. And here's the thing. I want to tell you this because I want to ask you a question. Are you excited for 2021? Because the people of 1921, they really were. And as we enter this new year full of hope and trepidation and the scars of 2020, I thought it would be helpful to see what people from a full century ago had envisioned for us. They had recently survived World War I and the Spanish flu. They were witnessing a technological revolution. There was electricity, commercial aviation, radio, many other inventions just appearing, just starting to show their promise. And how, these people wondered, would these things transform their world? So to find out what they thought, I went back into the newspaper archives and I searched for the phrase the year 2021 in the newspapers of 1921. And I found these amazing articles full of predictions, some correct, of course, some also obviously not correct. And the mistakes are very intriguing, of course. For example, the Evening News of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania predicted that Mexico will be, quote, a greater power than any in Europe, end quote, which didn't turn out to be true. But I prefer the correct predictions. The people of 1921 imagined a fanciful world full of insane conveniences that today are true and we just take for granted, like controlling the temperature in our homes or cooking more easily or flying around the world. These, I gotta just stress it again, these were the fantasies of people in 1921 and they're our reality. And it should make us think, for all the very real hardships that we face, we are living in someone else's dream world and we now get a chance to build towards our own dreams. And so today on Problem Solvers, I want to do something a little bit different, which is I'm going to share these predictions and then some perspective on how we can think about what comes next for us and what we can learn from seeing how people 100 years ago imagined our world to be. Coming up after the break. Just the other day, I opened this app that I use all the time, and it had no idea who I was. It wanted me to enter my username and password. Come on, I don't remember my username and password. Just let me in. Why don't you remember me? You know what this is? It is an identity problem. And this is the type of experience that Ping Identity makes awesome. So what is Ping Identity? It is the leader in global enterprise identity security, and it helps the world's largest organizations deliver secure, extraordinary digital experiences to their employees and customers. Because look, security is very important, but it shouldn't also have to be bothersome. If your app forgets your most loyal customers, you've got a problem. If your internal systems can't enable your employees to securely access anything they need without constantly entering and changing passwords, you've got a problem. And so Ping Identity solves those problems. It makes your business secure and agile, so customers can access what they want when they want it, and your employees can be productivity rock stars no matter where they are. Ping Identity is the champion of enterprise identity security. You want to learn more? Just go to pingidentity.com. Again, that is Ping, P-I-N-G, pingidentity.com. All right, we're back. So today on Problem Solvers, we are sharing what people in 1921 wrote about our world of 2021. This, by the way, is research that I had originally done and sent out on my newsletter, and you should totally go check it out. Just go to jasonpfeiffer.com, J-A-S-O-N, F as in Frank, E-I, F as in Frank, E-R, and you sign up for my newsletter. My newsletter is all about how to find opportunity and change, how to think about change differently. And I just thought that this was a perfect way to start the year in reframing what change looks like and how good it can be. So anyway, on this episode, I'm going to share six predictions. You just heard the first one earlier about controlling temperature in the home. And that was by a guy named Charles Steinmetz. He was known as the Wizard of Schenectady. He was an electrical engineer known for mastery of electricity and I suppose great future telling. So he also envisioned, this is number two here, he also envisioned entertainment at home. This man, the Wizard of Schenectady, was ready to Netflix and chill. And here is what he imagined. These are his words.
There will be no need to go to some congested, poorly ventilated hall for a musical concert. We just push a plug into a bass receptacle, as we do for the vacuum cleaner or table lamp, and we can have the concert brought into our homes. Music will be supplied by a central station and distributed to subscribers by wire, just as we get our telephone service today. Perhaps this may be wireless, the home being equipped with a radio-receiving apparatus. With this arrangement improved, we may hear grand opera stars as they sing in European capitals while sitting in our libraries at home.
I mean, not far off, right? That's basically what happened. He doesn't exactly have the technology correct, but this is the world that we're living in. And I, by the way, really want to point out and stress that little bit at the beginning where he says we'll have no need to go to some, quote, congested, poorly ventilated hall for a musical concert, end quote. Do not forget, new technology comes along and suddenly we become very, very romantic, overly romantic over the thing that we feel like it's pulling us away from. Oh, now that there's entertainment in the home, we will never go outside. We will never experience things the way that we used to. And this is a guy in 1921 who is saying to you, and he was living it. You can't doubt his experience. He knows his experience better than he knows our experience. He's living it. He's telling you. Going to a musical concert, it's a congested, poorly ventilated space, not nearly as appealing as we might romanticize it to be. This technology was great. Let us not see new things and say, oh, but the old thing, I've now forgot all the things that were bad about it. Now it's just so much better because it's old and familiar and I feel romantic. Stop. We need to stop that. That literally holds us back from progress. I just can't stress that enough. I don't want to go to the poorly ventilated hall. I want to be at home. All right, number three, electricity will power our wheels. This is the final one from the Wizard of Schenectady. He saw a future of electric transportation. But what's super interesting about this prediction is that, well, we're still kind of catching up to what he imagined. All right, here it is.
The most essential purpose of the cellar today is a satisfactory place to house the heating furnace, the coal supply, and ashes. With the home electrical, these two purposes, as well as many others of lesser importance, are eliminated. So what can we put in this space? With the electrical improvements to come, there will be a change in our transportation system. There will be more electric automobiles and electric bicycles and tricycles will be developed. Because of their simplicity and low price, they will be available to almost everyone. Our cellars will be the place to keep them.
How cool is that, right? I mean, he was envisioning something that we are now working towards. We have some electric vehicles, but not everything is electric, and they're still also quite expensive. But you can see where it's going, where the electric cars are going to be reduced in cost. Eventually, it is entirely possible that the entire auto system will move over to electric, at which point, perhaps the way that we think about storing our vehicles will totally change. Who knows? I mean, I don't know if it's going to be in the cellar, but It's an interesting idea. All right, we're going to be moving on to number four here, which is that books will be heard. I found this in an edition of the Miami News from August of 1921. It was a column by a guy named Moses Folsom called 100 Years From Now. Made many, many predictions, but among them, the one I found most interesting was what he was essentially describing the audiobook. Here it is.
By 2021, the phonographic principle may have become practically infallible, and the best books will be reproduced in plates for use in many different styles of speaking machines. The exact tones of the elocutionist in speaking the words of the dramatist, poet, teacher, philosopher, and novelist will be imitated in the library or parlor of every home. The exact tones of the sweet ginger will also be faithfully reproduced on records to last long after the voice of the singer is silent in the sleep that knows no waking.
And more or less, that is exactly true, right? That's what we have. We have machines that reproduce the sound of people's voices, the sound of the music that they played. This was once an unfathomable idea. The idea that you could be in a room without other people or without musicians and hear someone speaking or hear their music? I mean, just imagine that. Before this modern technology, for the rest of human history, rewinding to the beginning, that was impossible. And suddenly, it was possible. And they were seeing all the amazing, amazing benefits, the amazing things that this new technology could bring. Okay, number five. I call this one faster, brighter, better. It also comes from the same Miami news writer who rattled off some big, big predictions, some of which came true and some of which we are, frankly, still working towards, but pretty interesting to hear. Okay, here they are.
Moving sidewalks and elevators may be found in the densely populated cities, and tubes may connect cities, and men travel in them at speeds that are dazzling to the senses. Colored photography will be a fact, and vast improvements made in movie pictures. The tides may be used for power, as well as the rays of the sun for heat and power. Utensils and dwellings will be manufactured largely of pulps and cements so as to utilize vegetation and stone in every stage of decay, ordinary waste, or unfitness.
And what's being imagined here are the things that we really need to continue to work towards. We have some of these things, where we have some renewable energy. We have utensils and dwellings that are made from, I mean, what are functionally compostable materials. But we're not fully there yet. And even back in 1921, people seemed to understand that we would need to get there. And so we need to keep pushing ourselves. And now finally, number six, this one's really fun. I call it Oceans Are No Obstacle. So in Fall River, Massachusetts, the local newspaper had invited school children to write in with their predictions of what would happen in 100 years. Some predicted police officers flying in the skies or potatoes growing in the streets. But the best entry, to me at least, was by 14-year-old Thomas Gooley, who imagined a person from 1921 waking up in 2021 being alarmed to find massive airplanes ahead and no doors on buildings, because now everyone is just kind of flying into buildings from the roof. And then this person who was woken up in 2021 tries to escape to Europe, naturally. And so here's what 14-year-old Thomas Gooley wrote in 1921.
On reaching the wharf, we would ask for a ticket for a first-class cabin passage on the next boat. The ticket seller would laugh at us and say, "You do not go over the Atlantic anymore, old man, but under it in a tunnel." Looking stupidly about us, we might ask, "Well, what year is this anyhow?" And somebody might answer, "The year of 2021.
Now, of course, we don't actually travel in tunnels under the Atlantic in 2021, but we do actually in one kind of important way. I mean, first of all, obviously boats are no longer the primary way to cross the ocean, but we actually, when you are connecting from America to Europe by the internet, you are literally doing that over a hair thin wire that is strung across the ocean floor. Can you believe that? It's so crazy. The first time I ever heard that, I had to look it up to make sure it's true. It's true. We are not tunneling physically under the ocean floor, but we really are tunneling information under the ocean floor. And so what are we to make of all this? Isn't this so, so interesting? And what I see is, first of all, I see a lot of optimism, which is really exciting, because today we really have this mixture, and they had it back then too. There was a lot of pessimism that I'm just not including here. But today, you know, when we let people dominate stories and talk of technology by fear and by a discussion of what we're losing and how it's stopping us from achieving our humanity and how it's moving us away from these things that we're romanticizing that are so natural. I want to push back and say, look, we right now we are living in the fantasy world. This is the fantasy world from people for generations and centuries prior to us. We are living in the thing that they were all working towards. And we have an opportunity right now to embrace the new, to be the creators of the new, to say to ourselves, you know what? What we need to do here is see how great we can be, to see how we can take these tools that we have and we can build upon them and we can grow and we can find new opportunities and we can create an even better, more unbelievable future. This is what I think propels entrepreneurs. This is the reason that I am so attracted to this group of people, because I think deep down inside, they understand that the purpose of us all being here is to build and grow and progress and innovate. And so this year, I want you to be able to step back and think, this year, despite its challenges, despite the craziness of 2020 that we just came out of, this year, we are truly living in other people's fantasy worlds. And we have an opportunity during our insanely short time here to grow and to build another fantasy that someone else, lots of people, are going to live in and thank us for. And that's our episode. If you like what you heard, please subscribe to Problem Solvers wherever you get your podcasts. We come out with a new episode every Monday morning, and you don't want to miss it. And hey, be kind. Pass the show along to an entrepreneur friend who could use a boost. And did you solve a problem that would be good for this show? Let me know about it. Visit my website, jasonfeifer.com, JasonFeifer.com, where you can find my contact information and all sorts of other valuable info. Problem Solvers is a production of Entrepreneur Media. Be sure to visit entrepreneur.com for all your entrepreneurship needs. And even better, subscribe to our magazine, which is just full of the smartest entrepreneurs solving the toughest problems. My name is Jason Feifer, the editor-in-chief of Entrepreneur Magazine. Thanks for listening. And hey, let's go solve some problems.